Now, we're going to start today's programme by marking the fact that it is National Fostering Awareness Month. And I'm sure you all know at this stage, and we've said it on this programme a few times, they're always looking for new people to consider getting involved in fostering. But I guess before you think about it or put your name forward to apply to be a foster parent, you really want to know the nuts and bolts of it. What's involved? How do you go about it? What are the pros and cons? All of that. And to that end, I'm delighted to welcome into studio a Tralee couple who have fostered over 30 children over the past two decades. And they say it has massively enhanced their own lives. And they're very happy to talk to us about their experiences. So I'm delighted to welcome Tom and Mary Wall from Tralee. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you both here. And we've also got on the phone with us Tusla's fostering lead, Jackie Smith. Hello, Jackie.
Good morning, Deirdre. How are you?
I'm good. Lovely to talk to you as well. I might start with Tom and Mary, though. Tom, what decision led yourself and Mary to decide we'll try fostering?
Well, our children were grown up and they were starting to leave the house. And we were always used to having a lot of children. We have six children of our own. And it's just, we've had a good life overall, and it just felt time to give something back.
It was as simple as that.
And we thought it was the best opportunity to do it at the time.
Mm-hmm. And was it a joint decision, Mary, or did one of you come up with the idea and have to convince the other?
No, I don't think it would have worked that way, to be honest with you. Both people would have to be 100% invested in fostering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you remember the first child you fostered?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a five-year-old and he's well into his 20s now.
Yeah.
Well into them. And he came back to visit us. Yeah, so.
And did you have him for long?
We had him for 6 months, which is considered short term.
Mm-hmm. And how did that all work out? Because I suppose the first time you do it, it's quite daunting, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I think it's daunting for every child you get because every child is unique. Their circumstances are unique. Their needs are unique. So, yeah, it's very daunting to have a child in the house for the first week or two.
And at this point, all your own kids were gone from the nest.
Yeah, we had one left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you were kind of back to the whole stage of small kids again.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
We fostered short-term, long-term, emergency foster care. And we did a little bit of respite as well. That never really appealed to us, the respite. We preferred to have a child that we could to rear.
Form a relationship with.
Yes.
Yeah. And Tom, I saw in an interview you did that you said that, you know, you didn't have a massive big house, so you weren't really wealthy, but wealthy, you felt that, you know, you had plenty to give. And, you know, that it's not even about that. It's more about the solid foundation you can provide.
Well, the physical aspect of it, you know, the houses, the size of the house and all that kind of thing, they are important to a certain degree. But I mean, there was 10 children in my family at home. We had 3 bedrooms. You know, it's not the space you provide, or it's not even the service you provide. It's the amount of care that you give a child, you know, and providing safety. Letting them know that they are safe, no matter what happens, they're safe. That's very important. You know, it's more important than a lot of other things. And then, as well as that, building their confidence. You know, because a lot of children, when they come into care, there has to be a certain amount of trauma involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a matter of getting over that. And I think that's the best way you can get over it is, you know, to build up their confidence. Let them know that they are safe, you know, and have just do what you can for them and let them see that they're being treated the same as everyone else in the house, that it's not them and us kind of thing, you know, and it's no special. And it goes both ways. You don't spoil them more than your own children, right?
You know,
but it's just let them know, like, they're the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and that they're getting what whatever we can give, they can have it.
Exactly. And do they settle quickly, Mary, or does it depend on the child?
Depends on the child. I mean, every child coming into care is traumatised by the very nature of coming into care. And I think a lot of adults would say, oh, children are resilient, they bounce back. They don't. They're traumatised, absolutely. And that's what made them resilient. They've had to be, it was a survival skill by them. They would watch everything. They watch you, they read you, they see everything that's going on because they're hypervigilant. They had to be.
They had to be
at home. Our first little boy came back to visit us and he was able to point out the different colours that were on the walls since he was with us.
He knew that you'd repainted.
Yes, and he knew the colours originally. So, you know, you're talking about hypervigilance. It's one of their survival skills.
How's he doing now?
We wouldn't have daily contact with him, but I think he's doing good.
Yeah,
he's doing good.
He saw fit and wanted to come back and see you again, so he obviously has nice memories. Yeah. Let's bring Jackie in at this stage. Jackie, we're always hearing, and have been for a number of years, that there's a shortage of foster parents. Is that still the case?
It is, yeah, I suppose. It's wonderful to hear the real life experience there of Tom and Mary, and they're saying so many really important things. And there are brilliant foster carers all around the country and magnificent foster carers in Kerry, but we never have enough, because when children go to a foster home, obviously then that foster home is busy and there's children in it, and the next child that comes into care needs somewhere else to go to. And every year there's a new number of children that come into care. And one of the things that we're really, really trying to commit to is keeping children in their locality. Because, you know, a child from Kerry, from Killarney, it's really important if they can stay in their locality or in a small village somewhere, that they can stay close to there. That even if, as the guy said, they have the trauma of having to go to a different house, to leave their own house, that at least on the Monday they can go back. They can go back to their own school teacher. They can go back to their own class, or their own GAA team on the Saturday morning to do their training. These things are really important. So you want to see constantly new people coming in as new children require homes. And then every child is different, just like Tom and Mary said. So you need different kinds of homes to meet the needs of different children. Some children are quiet. They need time to settle, to be brought out of their shell, maybe in a quieter house, maybe one carer or two. Some kids just love a busy house where it's all go, go, go. It reminds them of home in a good way, and they do really well in busy houses. So you need different kinds of homes. You need them in different locations, towns, you know, country villages. And it's really important that, you know, the right home is there for the child when they need it.
And I assume, Jackie, that there's a fairly rigorous vetting process before one becomes a foster parent.
There is. I mean, it's a big responsibility. And I suppose when you come forward to foster, whether it's a child that you knew already that's come into care or a child that you've never met before, there's a big responsibility on us in TUSA to make sure, number one, that it's a safe and stable home for the child. We also have a duty of care to you to make sure it's the right thing for you. So we work with families, first of all, to talk to you to see, look, is this the right time? What would work for your family? Is it short term? Is it long term? Is it respite? And then we look at, you know, are things okay in your house? Is it stable enough? Is everything settled? Is it going to work for your own children if you have children? You know, we do other checks like medical checks and Garda checks just to make sure all our, I suppose, I's are dotted and T's are crossed. You know, these are some of the most vulnerable kids in society. So it's really about kind of making sure that everything is right, both for your family and for the foster child.
And just to come back to Mary and Tom, I saw you quoted in an interview where, you know, when people say to you, aren't you great that you do this? And you kind of dismiss that and say, you know, I get so much more, we get so much more from it.
Yes, you see, like myself and Mary are in our late 60s. We've had Santa Claus for years, and and he will be there for the future as well. Like from this, you know, and it keeps you young.
Yeah,
you know, it definitely keeps you active. You know, even though Mary does most of the work when it comes to fostering, you know, because I was out working full time and that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's a great feeling to come home and have children that are in your care. And I, for me, they, every one of them call me Grenda. I have an awful lot of grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just great. You just love it. And as well as that, then we did foster one girl with special needs 16 years ago now. But I mean, we adopted her since. She's with our family, and she, like I said, she still believes in Santa Claus. She's 26 now. She still believes in Santa Claus, Easter bunnies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she will always do that.
Yeah.
You know, so she will always keep us young.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of our age, you know.
And what about you, Mary? What would you say is what you've got from the whole experience? And I know that's a clumsy way of putting it, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. There's a very good feeling in it. We wouldn't do it unless we were getting something back from it, you know. And it's the small steps. You know, when you have your own kids and they say thanks for the dinner or put over the plate, whatever. Little things that we take for granted in our children. But with a foster child, that can be huge. If they said thank you or smiled or whatever, it gives you a great sense of pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, and that I must be doing something good here, because the child, we had a child actually who would never break a rule. Never. And that's what I mean by children being unique and their needs are unique. She, a placement had broken down and she came to us and she never broke a rule.
Yeah, never stepped out of line.
And we were waiting for it to happen, and it did one day. She left her tablet under the pillow and never brought it out. You know, the screen time was up at 9, and we were delighted.
Yeah.
Delighted that the child broke the rule,
yeah,
because it meant that she felt safe enough to break a rule,
break
that she
rule.
Wouldn't have been kicked out of the house.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean?
That's kind of heartbreaking as well.
So there's no generic answer,
yeah,
you know, on how to deal with it. You just have to go child by child.
Yeah, and it must be so satisfying, though, when they end up going back to their own parents or whatever happens,
yeah,
to see how they've kind of blossomed while they've been under your roof,
yeah,
and come on and got, yeah, more confident, yeah, and stuff.
We had a newborn baby and she went home at 3.5. But we still see her all the time. She still comes up to us and she calls us Nana and Granda again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah.
It is lovely. It is.
Just to finish with yourself, Jackie, there's a few myths out there about people who can't foster. Like, a lot of people think you have to be a married couple, you know, in a house with one person at home all day. But like, an awful lot more people can foster than one might imagine, I gather.
Absolutely. Foster families look like all different kinds of families that you see around the place now. You know, you have the married couples with children, you have married couples that don't have children, you have single people and blended families and families who are in new communities that have moved into Ireland, same-sex couples. I mean, the really important thing, I think, is that, it, as I said, different families will work for different children. And, you know, Mary said something there, and it's really after striking me, about resilience. And children, resilience is the ability to bounce back, you know, when something bad happens. And you learn that when you learn that the world, you know, isn't all bad. And that's one of the things that foster care does, because it shows children who've been through a tough time that, look, there are people here who care about you, who will look after you, who will let you break the rules and won't go crazy, you know, who are on your side and who have your back. And if that's for 6 weeks, 6 months or 6 years, it makes a huge difference in the life of the child. And it's just so lovely to hear. And the other thing sometimes people will think, they might think, you know, you have to be a certain age. There's no upper age limit in fostering, because there are all different kinds of children. And some people bring a lifetime of experience with them, and some people might be just starting off on the road. And we also have foster carers who work, because we have children in foster care of all different ages. And we have a lot, for example, of teenagers in foster care who are in full-time education, who need somewhere to live while they get their leave and start, while they get their first job and their first girlfriend or boyfriend, and they need someone to, you know, walk with them through that process. So there's all these different kinds of really rewarding foster care that you can do. And I would say to people, if this speaks to you, if this is making you interested, you know, it's all this month and all year long. In TUSA, we're here to have the chat with you to see if now is the right time. You know, people can ring us even if they're not sure. We're not going to do anything except help you explore what's right for you and your family, because it's amazing. You see people come in like and do this for, maybe they do it at weekends, or maybe, as I said, they do it for the whole child's lifetime. But my feedback that I hear from foster carers, and I think Tom and Mary are saying the same, is as much difference as it makes to the life of a child, it also brings something amazing to the life of the people who do it. And it is challenging and it is hard, but there are supports there to help you get through it. You know, you're not on your own. But everybody I talk to always says, as difficult as the difficult days were, it was so worth doing, and it's so worth doing.
Yeah, very well said. Well, listen, we're going to leave it there, and I presume there's more information on the TUSLA website, Jackie.
We have a free phone number as well if anybody was interested this week, because we're talking about starting the conversation. It's 1800 226 771. If anyone wants to just have a chat, explore this, no pressure, you know, it's all about what's right for you.
Perfect. Listen, great to talk to you, Jackie. Thanks so much for joining us. That's Jackie Smith there, TUSLA's fostering lead. And a warm thanks and a special thanks to Tom and Mary Wald from Tralee for coming in and talking us through the nuts and bolts of what's involved in fostering. We'll take a break, folks. Ask Brendan is next.